Well, I want to speak to you this morning about the Father heart of God. What else? What else? When we were in the prayer room this morning, I just felt God confirming that he actually wanted me to speak about this. It was absolutely right. He showed me a compass. Okay? Now, if you've got a compass, okay, and you pick it up, points north, doesn't it? Is that right? Is that what it does? It points north, okay? Now, people can get caught up in all sorts of extremes in Christian life, okay? You can, even down to purely faith, in the faith movement, if you like, you can actually get caught up in just grace. We've heard about hyper grace. People actually, you know, leaving their church, don't need church anymore, you know, we're under God's grace, and another church breaks up and that, you know, and they've gone into this, gone into that. And I felt the Lord showed me that our compass should always spring back to the love of God. You see, faith only works through love. You can't promote faith without promoting love. Faith works through love. And the example last time when I spoke about this sort of thing was, you imagine two little girls in school. One of them's father beats her. The other father is loving, caring, just shows love towards her, cares for her in an appropriate way. And they decide, the teenagers, they wanted to spread their wings and they wanted to go to London or whatever, they want to go to a show. And they realise they need to both go to their dads and say, I need 50 quid. Which one of them is going to have more confidence that they're going to get the 50 quid? That's why faith works through love. The more you know, the more you've overdosed on this revelation of the fact that God loves you, Heavenly Father loves you with a love that will last forever, everlasting love. It never fails. You might feel it's failed. You know, when something happens, you know, your job is terminated or whatever, or you go see the doctor and he tells you something and what have you. Love, according to the Bible, never fails. He will always love you. Always. Human beings, you get up next morning and what have you. You know, they loved you last night. Next morning and what have you. You haven't done the washing up or, you know, you've squeezed the toothpaste from the wrong end of the... are you with me? And you've got a reaction. You ain't got that with God. His love doesn't switch off. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. He doesn't change. He is love. He has faith. He has grace. But what he is love. God so loved. There's that. I keep coming back to it. That verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It comes right back to his whole motivation. This whole thing is all because he loves us. I mean, I didn't prompt Matt this morning. He didn't know what I was going to speak about. I mean, I didn't until this morning. But he got up here and he talked about this reckless love of God. You know, love gives a free will. It gives a free will. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. God put the tree in the middle So you can choose to go pull off that tree if you want, and you can walk off forever. But he's still going to love you. And he's still putting them skins. An animal has died, blood has been shed, and that skin goes over Adam and Eve as they walk away, as they go away from the garden. But they made a choice, and it was there was the tree. He said, don't eat it. And that's still the same today. Now we've come into this wonderful family of God. It's still the same. But you and I have a choice. We have a choice every day, whether we walk in this love or we don't. Turn with me to John 14. I won't speak as long as I normally speak. All right? You'll soon get your coffee. And it's not because England are kicking off at 1 o'clock. All right? No, no, no. It's nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that at all. I pinched this bit, this next bit from John Arnott, who, by the way, is coming to speak here on November 25th. And, pardon? Yeah, we've got John Arnott booked to come here, speak to us as a church on November the 25th. Now, what you got to do, though, folks, is keep it quiet. Because what we don't want is people driving up from Plymouth and Yeovil and what have you and finding they get to the door and they can't get in. So you've got to keep it quiet. Because this room will be full. All right? Then in the evening, we're going to do a joint meeting with Vineyard. Sunday evening, up at Castle School. And we can probably get about 500 in there, I think. And so we can tell a few more people then, maybe. But when you think that Vineyard will probably bring 250 or 300, and, you know, there won't be many spaces left. So, but anyway, I nicked this from him. This was how he first came into the revelation of what this whole thing is about. So, here we go, in John 14. Let's break in at verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Here we go. No one comes to the Father except through me. This whole thing is about a journey. This is what John says. This whole thing is about a journey to the Father. Reason Jesus was on the cross? It's all about a journey to the Father. And when you get to the Father, you find, what do you find? Whoa! All sorts of things. But first of all, you find that he is love. We haven't got time to turn to it, but in 1 John 4, it tells us in there that God is love. Love ain't a good idea with him. Love ain't something that just fluctuates and changes and next morning changes not. He's love 24/7, 365 days of the year. You go to him and he is love. The word that says draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, he ain't got opening times like the shop down the street. You know, that you can go, you know, you can't go get your love until 9 o'clock when the shop opens. All right? You can go at 6, you can go at 5, you can go at 4. Love is always there. The veil's been torn in two, and every human being on this planet now can run in and commit themselves to him and enjoy fellowship with him through what Jesus has done. Amen? Amen. And if that doesn't fire you up and get you in flames and what have you, your wood's wet. That should get us excited, shouldn't it? That you have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. There's these people that over the past few years, some of you may have heard it. In fact, I think there's a couple of PIH churches gone into it. Certainly one of them, a big one, split and everything. They've gone into the hyper-grace thing, okay? You've heard of hyper-grace? Well, don't, probably forget it if you haven't. But but the thing is, you see, grace is only accessible by faith. Faith comes through understanding how much you're loved, all that's taken place at the cross for you, okay? And then you access your grace by faith. That's why when, if you and I fail, I trust you lot don't. You don't get things wrong. Hey? You don't make mistakes and blow it. I trust you lot don't. Okay? But if you do, okay, there's grace, isn't there? But why is it that next morning we still feel bad about what we've done? Because there has to be an application of faith. Hello? You've got to believe the word of God that we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and you've no need to feel bad about it next morning. Somebody might remind you about it, a family member or whatever. Oh, do you remember what you did? No, yeah. But you are forgiven. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we access it by faith. We believe it, even though we don't feel like it. Even though you've confessed that you got drunk and you still got a hangover. Your body might be saying to you that, you know, I'm in a mess and what have you. But the word of God says that you're forgiven. And the thing is that with hyper grace, grace becomes the biggest thing that they anchor themselves in instead of anchoring yourself in love. Because eventually, okay, you ain't going to feel like you got grace. And eventually, you ain't got a lot of grace to give away to others. Unless you're anchored in love. I've heard two big name speakers. One of them, Kenneth Copeland, he said that his wife taught him how to love. He said, I learned how to love from her. And the examples that he gave was, must have been years ago when, you know, there were multi-million pounds in debt. And he thought he'd failed and things like that. And he's going through a tough time. And she came to him and she says, I find no fault in you. Got £8 million worth of debt. And she said, I find no fault in you. She says, because I believe Jesus finds no fault in you. If he's confessed up today, he's poured his heart out to God, where's the fault? It's been put on Jesus. That's grace. The second thing was, many years ago, he was flying back from some conferences he was doing, got halfway around the world, stopped off in a hotel. Next morning, he chews her up with his words. And she stood there with tears running down her face and she said, I'll find a way of blessing you. The natural reaction is to rip them off. I'll give you something back. I'll give you a piece of my mind back. But we're not called to respond that way, are we? We do. But if we're learning how to love and operating in love, there's a change in where we respond. Isn't that right? Billy Graham's wife, this is the next example on the big name speaker that I'd heard about. She said to him, his wife said to him many years ago, she said, "I'll bring up the children. I'll look after the house here. You go run after your calling. You are called to preach the gospel." And you know what Billy Graham said? He said, "My wife taught my children how to love me." What security does that bring to him, to his household, to his relationship with his family? Lenny's lent me this book. It's on my desk upstairs. Big, colourful book. Pictures of Billy Graham. And that, when I was going through it, jumped out of me, that his wife would teach his children how to love their father. Now, some people may have a bigger priority to teach their children something. It might be another language. It might be physics. But one thing that brought security to that family was, I believe, her teaching her children how to love their father. Now, that changes the environment of the home. And that's an environment where children can grow up stronger, more secure. They can face life as they get older because they've grown up in a love environment. Near us, there's a rookery. It's noisy. Noisy, very noisy. And if you live a few doors up the road from us, I bet there's a lot of cleaning up to do. If the branches hang over your washing area, your garden, I mean, the plants will probably grow all right. I mean, you know, with all the nitrogen from that. But they're making a nest, okay? Well, they made it a little while ago. But they make this nest and they bring it. You can see them bringing the twigs in and, you know, bringing a little bit of dried grass in or whatever they use. And they're coming in with all these things and what have you. And, you know, we as children of God should actually be building our nest, okay, for children to grow up in. And that's a nest of love. The main construction and main component of that environment is love. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13, shall we? I won't keep you much longer from your coffee, from your football. I wonder if that's why some of them haven't come this morning. They probably thought, well, Dave will preach till 1:15. And so... And I won't get up in time for the kickoff then. So here, Wendy had a wonderful word when we were praying in there, Wendy Thomas. She had a lovely word, I mean, for me, saying that in here, in our church, she saw these oak trees. And you've got, I presume anyway, I'm reading into this, Wendy, you know, you've got some saplings and you've got oak trees at various stages of growth and what have you. And I personally believe as we keep ministering into, I mean, this understanding of love and creating an environment of love and anchoring, you know, our belief system, if you like, into love, we're growing oaks. We're growing oak trees. You know, Ephesians 3 talks about being rooted and grounded in love. You know, you can stand a lot of tests if you're rooted and grounded as individuals and as a church. You know, as the wind blows and some things happen and you get a few knocks in life, if you're rooted and grounded in this revelation and this understanding of how much God loves us and how much he cares for us, how much he's interested in every detail of our lives, then we'll cope with these things. So to save time, we won't turn to it, but just before I read 1 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, test yourself if you are of the faith. And Paul is writing here to Christians, okay? He's saying to Christians, test yourself. And I think that there are times when we can come back to testing ourselves as regards whether we line up in this. You know, and it's a good exercise. I personally believe I didn't measure up this week. You know, Karen and I went away to Wales and, you know, Tuesday night, you know, I've had a lot of things going on during the day and challenges and what have you, but I didn't respond to Karen in a very good way. So, you know, for a short period of time and then you say sorry and what have you. So, what I'm saying by that is I'm on the journey like you folks. I'm not all there, but sometimes we can come back to the plumb line and we can actually say, what do I need to change here? 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love is patient. Okay, let me ask myself the question, am I patient? Am I patient with you guys in the church? Am I patient with people that ruffle my feathers? Am I patient with Karen? You know, maybe I failed in that area on Tuesday. But at least I want to come back to saying, you know, I want to be like God. I want to be like Jesus. Both Kenneth Copeland and John Arnott, years ago, they asked God something very similar and they didn't know each other. John Arnott said to God one day, look, why not just anoint your people just like Jesus? And they can all run around and what have you, empty all the hospitals, empty all the undertakers, and you know, we can get this thing wrapped up pretty quickly and we'll all come back and be with you forever. And God, he felt that the Lord said to him that if I did that, can you imagine what it would look like? All these hundreds of thousands of people running around like orphans. Falling out with one another, doing just the same as they've done in church before, arguing, strife, jealousy. He says, and John Arnott said that God is preparing a wineskin that can hold the next move of God. A wineskin that can hold it. So in other words, when the boat's rocked, you've got a body of people that's learned how to love. A body of people that are going to stand together no matter what. A body of people that are going to forgive very easily, very quickly. They keep a short account. Forgiving is not an option for the Christian. So, and the other example was, and I've used this before, Kenneth Copeland said to him, he said, look, when I read your Bible, Lord, it says the power of life and death in the tongue. We ought to be actually speaking to more sick people and they're raising them up and things like that. Why don't we see the same power in what we say? And he said, the Lord said to him, he says, be great in the service. People might well be nice to one another. They drive out onto the, they'll call it the interstate, and somebody cuts them up and what have you, and they'll blow them away with the power of their words. Because we ain't learned to love yet. We're still learning. Is that right? We're still learning. We get home and we'll carve the wife up or carve the husband up. Give him a piece of my mind. They don't need a piece of your mind, do they? They need some love. That's how God's made him. So here we go. Oh, I've kept you longer than what I intended. Love is kind. Am I kind? Am I kind to him? Am I kind to people around me? It does not envy. Envy will open the door to a lot of problems. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It isn't. If there's an absence of love, you know, and you've dealt with it, you know, and you've taken on board this understanding of love, then you ain't going to get angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So I just feel that somebody here, maybe the Lord's saying to you that you do get angry, and it's a habit. And you can change that habit over 21 days and develop another one. Amen? Develop a new one. Develop a new one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. There was one other thing I felt the Lord wanted me to say. Yeah. What was it, Lord? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I know what it was. When that Syrophoenician woman, she came to Jesus and he basically called her and her daughter a dog. And he was drawing faith from her that eventually she got what she needed. But she knew him as Lord already. She'd obviously had some revelation. But you know, sometimes people can be so easily offended. Very easily offended in our society today. I'm feeling I don't have to put up with that. People take offense at the slightest little thing. But they finish up not getting all God's blessing. We ain't got time this morning, but I was going to go through, and you can read it in your own time, Proverbs 15, as regards, you know, not being touchy and not being fretful and things like that and being easily teachable. And so let's just pray, shall we? Father, we just thank you for this incredible love that you have for us. Yeah. Just open your heart up right now. He wants to just touch you right now. Receive this love. Receive it right now. Let him touch you. I've experienced, even in the past few days, this sense of his love coming over me with these waves. Waves of love. John Arnott was in Israel and what have you, and he only slept 7 hours all the time he was there. he reckons, because he couldn't sleep because of these waves of love coming over him. And he thought he was going to die. What a way to die. I mean, and I felt that. I felt where I was going to die. I've told you before. When I felt his love coming over me so powerful and so strong. Whoa! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just receive it right now. Yes, Lord. Yes. Some of you maybe feel bad about some things that you've done wrong. Snapped your wife's head off or snapped your husband's head off or whatever. Just receive that forgiveness right now. Receive it right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Let the oil flow over you. Fresh touch of God right now. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Love is something to practice. It's a good habit to practice. Thinking of things of how to bless somebody. Just like Joyce Meyer, every morning when she wakes up, show me, Lord, somebody, one person. Show me somebody I can bless today. What a way to live your life. You're never going to live in selfishness with a heart like that, are you? Ever. Ever. Be blessed. Have a great week in God. And I look forward to seeing you all next week.